in an order. And, you know, sometimes your good intentions direct you into the right action, but not always. But you can find decently and in order in the King James Version of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 40, and it reads, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Now, I know I want to talk about some current events, and then I'm going to get to some scriptures or questions that people had. But I know it's after Easter, and I just wanted to touch on the history behind the International Transgender Day of Visibility. And I know there was a lot of people that were upset, including myself. I thought, why
Antichrist?
Why on Easter? And I didn't know anything about how it started. So I found this article on PBS, and Rachel Crandall Crocker, she is the creator, or he is, the creator of International Transgender Day of Visibility. And he wanted people to have a moment of happiness. So she made a Facebook post encouraging people to organize festivities in their hometowns and started messaging accounts from all over the world, you know, figuring it's worth a shot. I've been wanting there to be a special day for us for a long time, he recalled.
What an idiot.
And I was waiting and waiting for someone else to do it. And then I finally said, well, I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to do it. So it was 2009.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, the only annual event that most transgender communities had was nothing to celebrate. In 1998, Rita Hester, a black transgender woman in Boston.
Did they say the person who was going to found it was white transgender, but now all of a sudden a black transgender? These people are just, they're unbearable.
This black transgender woman in Boston, Massachusetts, was brutally stabbed in her own apartment. Transgender women were tired of being targets and done being dismissed by the press, which misgendered Hester. They marched through Hester's Boston neighborhood and Transgender Day Remembrance, TDOR, a day of...
This feels like it's making my ears bleed.
Honoring transgender homicide victims was born.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, Crandall Crocker wanted a day where they could celebrate the living, a day that all over the world we could all be together.
Uh-huh.
So Crandall Crocker, who had lost a marriage when she became... When she came out.
When he became or she? What is he? Is a he or she?
So
it's a man, biological
a
man. Okay, so
it's a guy.
When he came out, all right.
As a woman.
Okay.
She lost, or he lost, the job as a psychotherapist.
He should.
When he was transitioned to a woman, and then decided to create the day himself or herself.
Well, I couldn't care less.
So March 31st would be International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yeah, okay.
And that was back in 2009.
Uh-huh, okay. So, that's fine. That's good. I mean, but just like everything else, if we're celebrating Easter, we do not combine the two. Christians, so-called, because I think the ones who are truly saved ought to stand their ground. They hijack Christmas. They hijack Easter with the Easter Bunny and all this nonsense. And now they're going to try, to overshadow Easter because it happens to be some day that somebody who is suffering from dysphoria as far as their sexual identity and their gender identity, somehow that's supposed to overshadow the death and suffering and the resurrection of Christ. Nope. Nope.
So in 2021, going back in 2014, the day was observed by activists across the world, including Ireland, Scotland, and in 2015, many transgender individuals participated in an online social media campaign on websites including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, And they posted selfies, personal stories, statistics, blah, blah, blah.
Lord, yes.
In 2021, U.S. President Joe Biden proclaimed March 31st as a Transgender Day of Visibility, stating in part, I call upon all Americans to join in the fight for full equality for all transgender people. Biden was the first American president to issue a formal presidential proclamation recognizing the event.
Shame on him.
Now, Easter just happened to fall early on March 31st.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. But for the White House, you know, to pick this time to try and validate that particular day over the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord says a lot about his non-character. He doesn't have any. The man's an idiot. And I'm saying saints should never take down, and they should recognize the sacrifices that were made for us in the spiritual realm, because this is so anti-Christ, and you get some idiot out there who's just basically confused. You know, they don't even know who they are. You know, and they want to celebrate the fact that they don't know who they are.
he just degraded the death and burial and resurrection. He just desecrated it like it was nothing.
Right.
Well, even the people who start, who this Rachel Crandall Crocker, who started it, did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? But we're talking about the president of the United States, our leader, is standing up there with his poopy pants and
made it a day.
Right.
Proclaimed it and
yes,
then say,
barely make it to the bathroom and you're going to sit there.
I don't know about that. That's getting in more information than I have access to.
With his depends. Yeah, and instead of him standing up for Christ, he's going to validate somebody who is suffering from a mental disorder. That's all that it is. I mean, that's a spiritual disorder as well.
All right, moving on. I just thought I'd give a little history about this, because I didn't hear about it.
Nobody would know.
I never heard about it
until and we wouldn't have.
This Easter.
If old Slow-Mo Joe hadn't got up there and tried to validate it.
Yeah, but he did it back in 2021, and it wasn't a big deal.
Well, they made a big deal of it this year.
This year they
That's
did.
That's what I'm saying.
This year they did.
Yes.
And this has been going on for so long. So
they could have had it going on for 30 years. We still would not have known anything about it because he did it this year.
This year marks the 15th anniversary
of
Transgender Day of Visibility.
And if he had respected the Lord instead of transgender.
He is a devout Catholic.
No, he's not. He's devout in something, but it's not Catholicism. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. Mm-hmm. So if he hadn't done that, it still would have flown under the radar. But no, this idiot had to get out there and ahead of Christ and promote something that's abominable.
It's shameful. Mm-hmm.
And probably too, he probably did it like in a strategic way because it's an election year too.
Right.
So he'll try to make him look good so he can make his claim to go get reelected again.
Yeah, believe it or not, if America doesn't wake up, if they continue in this path and it turns out all the ungodly bands together and we will be going down the toilet quick, fast and in a hurry.
Well, moving on, you know, everybody remembers Roma Downey. She played in that Touched by an Angel series, and then she's and
married
her husband,
a billionaire. She had to divorce him right quick.
She had to remarry
from the billionaire she first married. She might have remarried, but she married a billionaire and she said he needed help and psychological help. She divorced him.
Well, she, I think, with somebody, and they do that. They did that series, the Bible series. They've done a lot of religious movies, and so now she released on March 28th, a new faith-based family TV series. It's called The Baxters, and it was released on Prime Video. And it's based on a best-selling book series by Karen Kingsbury. And so she did a recent interview with the Christian Post, and she shared how faith-based films and television shows tend to sugarcoat real issues, including addiction, pain, and loss. And I think that projects in the past sugarcoated over some of these issues, and we saw faith projects where somehow people of faith didn't have problems like everybody else. And of course, we do, Downey said. We're brought to our knees in more ways than one. It's just time that we're down. When we're down there, we stop, we pray, and we help each other back up in a myriad of ways. And I think it's important. And she thinks that audience will relate to this family. They'll fall in love with this family. She said, first of all, the actors are wonderful. She said the story plays out a little bit like a hope opera. You think of soap operas and people binging them. Ours is a hope opera. And we're hoping that for the Easter season, which in the church is a great season of hope, this show is the essence of the season. If you go through it and enjoy it, and she says, I encourage you, please let somebody know that you enjoyed it. She, I guess, plays the character Elizabeth Baxter, and explained how she incorporated her own experiences as a parent. I came to it with a mother's heart, she said. So I don't know, if you have Prime Video, you can probably go back and see it.
And the name of the series is called Baxters?
The Baxters.
Okay.
The Baxters. And it's through her company, Lightworkers. So I don't know. That's all I know about it. But it just came out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to go through a couple of questions that have been sent to me over the months.
Okay.
And this one is, follow your heart. Is this sound biblical advice?
Not necessarily, no. Because your heart has to be right. Follow your, I can see where a person would say, if your instincts, you get a gut feeling, but when they talk about just follow your heart, no, you follow the Lord. And so, your heart should be, you circumcise the foreskin of your heart.
So do you think the Bible discourages the use of your heart
no,
in decision making?
Of course not. It's just that the Lord expects that your heart and your decision making should be grounded in His word and His will.
So, in other words, it says, in the Bible, it says that you should trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding.
Right. So when your heart is grounded in the Lord, then you know your heart is in the right place, because, that's the seat of your feelings, and the Lord recognizes that. He recognizes, people have great emotion, they experience great pain, great joy within their heart, and the Lord recognizes that, and the Lord honors that. But your heart can be rooted in the Lord or be exceedingly wicked, the Lord said, because you won't surrender your heart to God. Your heart is what you can, when people talk about they sold their soul to the devil, no, they didn't. You can't sell your soul to the devil because you don't own your soul. The Lord owns your soul. Can you give your heart to the devil? Sure. Because that's what God has allowed us to do with our free will. We can give our heart to whomever we want to give it to. So when we give our heart to the Lord, we give it freely. And when you give your heart to sin, you've made a decision, and you're giving it freely. You can always give your heart and you can take it back. By the way, if a person has given their heart over to sin and given it to the devil, the Lord allows you the right to take it back and to rededicate your heart to Him.
The Lord also, in the Word, it says He promised to give wisdom to those who ask. You can find that in James chapter 1, verse 5. He gave us the Bible to guide us, so obviously God is greater than our hearts.
Of course.
He knows more than we ourselves know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he expects our heart to be committed.
But also in James, it also says that every person is tempted when he's lured or enticed by his own desires.
Right, which is why we crucify our flesh, But we know that our heart, we dedicate that to the Lord. We circumcise the foreskin of our heart because we don't want anything hidden that's contrary to God's will. We don't want iniquity to creep in, you know, in iniquity. That's when you go in your own way. We want don't want to get to the point where we decide that we know what's best and we do without yielding over to the will of the Lord, without consulting the Lord.
So following your heart is not biblical sound advice.
Mm-mm. You follow the Lord, and your heart, if it's grounded and rooted in Christ, then you can follow your heart in that sense, that there's something that you desire. And I mean, to the point where it affects you, it affects your heart. And you know within yourself that this is what you desire. Because there have been times when things would hit a person so, and that's me, it would hit me so hard, I would know. I said, if the Lord would come right now, I would not be able to say it didn't affect me. You know, I said, Lord, if I said any other thing, I would be lying. So as long as your heart is rooted in the Lord, then when you do something that you really feel compelled to do, after consulting the Lord, because it's on your heart to do it, you know that you're doing the right thing. You know, there are times when you just feel compassion for a person and you want to do something. So if you say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart, I feel like I want to do this for this individual, you still have to consult the Lord. Lord might say, no matter how much you want to do for him, no. He might say, no matter how much you don't want to do for him, go ahead and do this. So you never know.
Right? The opposite of what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. And this might be really weird, but I followed this story. This person said that she told the Lord she was willing to do anything. She said, Lord, you know, like the Lord would have her do something illegal or immoral. But she told the Lord, I'm willing to do anything. And the Lord said, she said that the Lord told her, well, when you pass this stop, he said, you go in by the soda machine and stand on your head and do a headstand. And she was saying, huh? And so she thought about it, and then she finally said, well, I did tell the Lord I would do anything. So she went in there, walked into the store, went over by the soda machine, did a headstand. And then she got down and she was walking out the door, and the guy said, wait. He said, you know, he said, after my shift, I was going to commit suicide. And I told the Lord that if he was real, then send somebody into this store, stand over by the soda machine, and stand on their head.
See,
so you never know.
I pray I'm obedient like that and then be able to do a headstand because I can't. Anyway, here's another question, and it comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
Yes, 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 reads, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
All right, so the question is, what is the sin that does not lead to death?
He said there's a sin that doesn't lead to death. He said there's a sin that is not unto death, which means that there is still hope. All sins lead you to die, and sin will kill you spiritually, and you will be separated from the Lord. But there's a separation that isn't final, he's saying. There is a sin that is final, a final separation, but there are those sins that you can still recover from because God can still save you. But when you get to the point where you are apostate and you feel like the Lord, that the Holy Ghost is something that you consider to be unworthy and unclean and unfit for you, there's no way.
Well, there's an example in Acts. I think it's in Acts, and it talks about the story about Ananias and Sapphira,
mm-hmm.
and they lied about
mm-hmm.
How much they had. Now,
mm-hmm.
was that lying to the Holy Spirit?
You're right. Yes, they felt like they were lying to a man, but they really weren't.
So as a result of that, that sin led to death because they both were killed
right.
by the Lord.
Yes, but had they lived, I don't think they would have ever been in a point where they would have been in a point of resistance or repenting. But I don't think that's what the Lord was talking about dealing with them, because of them lying to the Holy Spirit and they were so brazen in it and holding to it. It's like when the Lord said, when you dung around a tree and it still won't yield fruit, I don't think they ever would have yielded any fruit. So the Lord said, well, why you allow them to come up the ground? Why do you allow them to take up space? So the Lord just moved them out of the way. There are a lot of people who have been moved out of the way, not because they've sinned a sin that's unto death, meaning if they lived, it would not have made any difference. The Lord has moved them out the way because knowing that they had made a decision not to change, it's like, why cumber up the ground? But there's a sin where if you sin to the point where you don't acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is real, you will never come to the realization of truth. Like you don't acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is worthy. You actually count it as something that's unclean or even demonic. Because I had a person do that. Tell me that the Holy Ghost was like a sign of demons. So that person was never welcome back into my house again. So when you have that type of attitude, the Lord said, you can't even pray for a person like that. It doesn't matter. That's different from when the Lord just looks at a person and knows that this particular person, not because they can't change, they just won't change.
So everybody has sinned.
Everybody.
Everybody has sinned, and until you repent,
right,
that could lead to death.
You're right. Sin puts you in a state of death, period. And then the Lord brings you out of sin into life.
So it's not just one sin that does not lead to death. It's like
right.
all sin
leads to death, but there's one sin that the Lord said you don't even pray for the individual, because in their heart they despise not just the Lord but the Holy Spirit.
Well, I don't know. We have just a few minutes left here. This question is, they want to know if this statement is incorrect. Was Jesus' statement that some who are standing here will not taste death? So it's like in Luke chapter 9, verse 27. And you can also find it in Mark 9:1 and Matthew 16:28. But in Luke 9:27, it reads,
yes, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God.
Right. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's letting them know.
So that's a not incorrect.
No,
that's
it's not.
That's a true statement.
Right. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. See, people are thinking natural, and God is talking spiritual. And he's letting them know that naturally they won't see death until they receive the Holy Spirit. He's letting them know the Holy Ghost is coming. My Spirit is coming, you know. And to hear people going around looking for a person, you know, to... I guess this is where that concept, never die or whatever. That's not what the Lord was talking about. He's talking spiritually.
Well, we'll continue next week with more questions that we have.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, ain't God all right?
God
is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, how was dry land formed? And the answer is, by the hands of the Lord. And that answer can be found in Psalm 95 verse 5, and it reads, the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. This week's food for thought is, are we supposed to serve the Lord? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.